Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Treasures of Our Faith, reflections from priests in our listening area on topics of their choosing. And now, Treasures of Our Faith. Come, Holy Spirit, fill
the hearts of your faithful. What are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? While all confirmandi may be able to answer the question, do they make good use of the gifts they have received? It would be a shame if all they were was an answer to a Catholic trivia question. Our topic for this edition of Treasures of Our Faith is the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I am Father Pat Toner, chaplain to Courage and Encourage, the Ohio Reformatory for Women, and Franklin Medical Center. Everyone preparing for the sacrament of confirmation learns the names of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. We learn about them in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and piety, and his delight shall be fear of the Lord. The gifts are given to us to enrich our lives and help us grow in holiness. Part of our catechesis must include how to use the gifts. Someone may give you a car, but without driving lessons, the car will not serve you well. When a student starts school, he or she is a chunk of clay that can be molded and formed. While they may offer more resistance than a chunk of clay, the process of catechesis will be at work. The teacher will impart the gifts that they have through the subjects they teach and the lives they witness to. We will learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit through the experiences of life and the teachers God sends us. Definitions are important. They establish boundaries. They provide the lesson plan that will lead us deeper in cultivating the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation is not the first time we have received the Holy Spirit. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we are infused with sanctifying grace, the life of God within us. So, it began with baptism. And confirmation is a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the sevenfold gifts. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1830 states, "The moral life of Christians is sustained by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are permanent dispositions which make man docile in following the promptings of the Holy Spirit." The Catechism then speaks of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We can use them to recognize how well we are using the gifts. Paragraph 1832 states, "The fruits of the Spirit are perfections that the Holy Spirit forms in us as the first fruits of eternal glory." The tradition of the Church lists 12 of them: charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Jeff Foxworthy helped us to identify if we were rednecks through his humor. If you have one or more cars in your front yard on blocks, you might be a redneck. If you think fast food is hitting a deer at 60 miles per hour, you might be a redneck. Try these on for size to see if you are a Spirit-filled Christian. If you are awed at the sight of nature and say, "Oh my God," you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of faith. If you see someone in trouble and spontaneously pray for them, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of goodness. If you are moved to compassion over a stranger's troubles, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of kindness. If you can patiently listen to your mother-in-law without thinking someone should duct tape her mouth shut, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of patience. If you walk around with a silly grin for no reason at all, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of joy. If you give a dollar to a beggar that you think only wants a drink and do not judge him, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of charity. If you can smile when everyone around you is in a state of panic, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of peace. If you don't strike out at someone who has offended you, but turn the other cheek, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of mildness. If you faithfully go to church every week, even when the sermons are boring, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of long-suffering. If you think dressing for church is more important than making a fashion statement, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of modesty. If you believe in abstaining from sex until marriage and being faithful in marriage, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of chastity. If you can control your desires for immediate gratification for the sake of others, you might be a Christian filled with the spirit of self-control. The Bible refers to these as the fruits of the Spirit because they are works that we can only perform with the aid of the Holy Spirit. They contrast with the works of the flesh that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5. Infused with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as if by instinct. What would Jesus do? Wisdom is listed first. The scriptures often indicated importance by the ordering of things. Sometimes, like a David Letterman top 10 list, we work toward the number one spot, as Genesis does in the order of creation, ending with man as the highest in God's plan. Sometimes we start with number one, as the Gospels always list Peter first in the listing of the apostles. Since all the gifts of the Holy Spirit work together, being number one is not important. The Psalms tell us that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is an awareness of the awesomeness of God that inspires reverence and worship. Wisdom is desired because it is the perfection of faith. Through the gift of wisdom, we value things in relationship to God's plan. Wisdom will help us order our relationship to the world in the light of faith. Understanding builds upon wisdom. It allows us to grasp the essence of the truth and gain a certitude about how it deepens our relationship with God. We not only see God's plan, we see the consequences of living in relationship or breaking faith with God. Counsel enlightens our conscience so that we are able to judge how to best act. Counsel helps us to perfect the virtue of prudence, one of the cardinal virtues. Fortitude is both a gift of the Holy Spirit and a cardinal virtue. Having wisdom to see God's grand plan, an understanding of how to live accordingly, counsel directs our choices, and fortitude empowers us to act courageously in relationship to God in the face of opposition. Like wisdom and understanding, knowledge is the perfection of the faith that enables us to act with a certitude of being in the state of grace. Like counsel, it is aimed at our actions. Piety perfects the virtue of religion. Justice is the virtue that consists of giving God his due. Piety is more than fulfilling our obligations to God. It entails loving and serving God with our whole being. Here is another way to look at the gifts in relationship. Fear of the Lord is falling in love with God. Wisdom is recognizing our beloved. Understanding is identifying why we love him. Counsel is deciding what to do about that love. Fortitude is stepping forth and declaring our love. Knowledge is knowing our love is accepted and returned. Piety is living in the glow of that love. You are listening to Treasures of Our Faith. I am Father Pat Toner. We are considering the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bestows the gifts to assist us in our mission and witness. They will impact us throughout our lives. For a proper spiritual development, we must consider how we will cultivate these gifts. They will work hand in hand with the virtues, both those that are infused in us and those that we develop habitually. We will begin with fear of the Lord. The psalmist declares that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. According to the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, the gift of fear of the Lord, or wonder and awe in God's presence, can infuse honesty into our relationship with God. A frankness that places us in awe before the majesty of God. Yet the gift also imparts an attitude of grateful wonder that God loves us and we can share in his life. We have recently witnessed an awesome display of human resourcefulness in sending a spacecraft 3 billion miles to take pictures of the planet Pluto. Think about what that required so that we didn't pass by when it was on the other side of the solar system. It not only arrived there after 9.5 years, traveling at 186 miles per hour, but was able to send photos back to the Earth. In context, it is still within our solar system, one of millions in our galaxy, and one of millions of galaxies in the universe that God created. It is one small step for mankind. The universe is measured in billions of light years. Here is the honesty that fear of the Lord imparts. God is greater than we are. The contemplation of his creation is awe-inspiring. Read the story of Job. After arguing with his friends, Job finally faces God with his complaint. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel with words of ignorance? Gird up your loins now, like a man. I will question you, and you tell me the answers. Where were you when I founded the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its size? Surely you know. Who stretched out the measuring line for it? Into what were its pedestals sunk? And who laid the cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Confronted with the truth about God and himself, Job demonstrates fear of the Lord. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be hindered. Who is this who obscures counsel with ignorance? I have spoken, but did not understand, things too marvelous for me which I did not know. By hearsay I heard of you, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I disown what I have said, and repent in dust and ashes." The macro view of creation speaks of the awesomeness of God. It inspired the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The micro view is just as awe-inspiring. That same honesty that fear of the Lord inspires encourages us to look within. The human intellect and love of beauty reflects the wonder of God. When we teach the power of ideas and listen to some of the great speeches that change the world, don't we quiver with awe and wonder? When we stand before a work of art and feel a tug at our heart, isn't that God touching us? Some of us remember hearing Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream" speech, and knowing deep down the truth that was articulated, and that things would never be quite the same. Students always remember the teachers who had a passion for their subject. Teachers who inspired imagination and called forth a sharing in the creative nature of God. Not all our preaching is in religious words. Honesty, truth, beauty, imagination, childlike wonder, and goodness flourish with fear of the Lord. They in turn help to flourish our relationship with God. The book of Genesis reflects two views of God. The Eloist editor behind the first creation story saw God as all holy and awesome. God creates with his word, but from the distance of heaven. The Yahwist editor saw God as intimate with his creation. In the second creation story, we see God creating man with his own hands, out of clay. Fear of the Lord respects both views, the transcendent and the immanent or incarnational. The last verses of How Great Thou Art bring this home. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. The awesome truth is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Fear of the Lord reminds us of our sins, not to condemn us, but to free us. I have remarked on many occasions that I believe the only happiness Satan gets is in making us miserable and getting us to doubt God's goodness. He reminds us of our sins to make us feel guilty. Once we have confessed them, we are no longer guilty, but Satan plays upon our memories. Those same memories are an occasion for grace. In remembering our sins, especially those horrible ones we would like to forget, we find the grace not to commit them ever again. St. Alphonsus composed a prayer. O giver of all supernatural gifts, who filled the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with such immense favors, I beg you to visit me with your grace and your love, and to grant me the gift of holy fear, so that it may act on me as a check to prevent me from falling back into my past sins, for which I beg pardon. The virtue that fosters fear of the Lord is humility. Humility is from the root word humus, or earth. A person who is humble is down to earth or well grounded. When we cultivate fear of the Lord, we are forming people who are fully alive. Humility is an honest self-understanding. We acknowledge God is God, and we are his creation. God has blessed us with many gifts, and we should be proud of those accomplishments. Humility and fear of the Lord give credit where credit is due. From the perspective of fear of the Lord, we approach the gift of wisdom when we return in the next edition of Treasures of Our Faith. I am Father Pat Toner. May you be in heaven a long time before the devil knows you're dead.
Treasures of Our Faith is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Treasures of Our Faith and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
parent, you don't need the latest gizmo slang or clothes to be a perfect parent, because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.